The Word of God is just a simple, straightforward verse of Scripture as John opens his gospel and begins to proclaim the might and power of Jesus Christ. You think about Easter and all that it means, and of course the traditions of men that have added to this day, and my goodness, well, I won't touch on that, but it's strange things that are happening and proclamations made for this day, and I'm thankful we can celebrate, amen, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, amen. So John chapter 1 and verse 4, very simple, very straightforward. And I'm thankful that's the way we can view the resurrection and know what the implications and the additions and the blessings that accompany it as well. Let's read together John chapter 1 and verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. Thank God. The life was the light. I'm thankful that's what the Lord adds to our experience. Abundant life, he said, he came to give. The contrast we know is the scripture records in the Lord saying, the thief will steal, kill, and destroy, but I am come that you might have life and that more abundantly. Praise God. Again, a brief and short statement, but oh, so full of meaning. And I'm thankful that we can discover more and more of what God has for us. Amen. You can be seated. God bless you so much today. The Creator brought forth light and life. The earth, as the scripture starts out saying, without form and void, darkness covered the earth, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. That's how the narrative starts. That's how the scripture begins. Spirit and water were elements of creation from the very beginning. And I'm thankful that spirit and water are elements of the new birth as well. And in his name, praise God. When the Lord declared, let there be light, it was a powerful statement. It wasn't just turning on the switch. Some of us had power outages last night, and thank the Lord the wind calmed down a bit so that we can have light this Easter. But when he said, let there be light, it was a statement that involved physical light, obviously, but I think there was a spiritual light that was created in that aspect as well, to have an impact upon the world that he was going to bring into existence. The physical properties of light are amazing. Electromagnetic radiation perceived by the human eye is just part of what is there, the spectrum of colors in the rainbow. And then what is not visible, the gamma rays, the X-rays, the microwaves, the radio waves. Amazing, incredible. That the Lord just said it, and there it is, the speed of light, refraction of light. It can go on and on about how amazing light is. And he said it, and it happened. All other aspects of creation are predicated upon that creation of light. Now, here's an important principle. God divided light from darkness, and one is going to eliminate the other to some degree. Well, darkness can't eliminate light. That's impossible. And I'm thankful that the Lord created that aspect in true in the natural realm and certainly in the spiritual realm as well. Divide light from darkness. Don't try to make them coexist. Don't try to compromise them. Don't try to fit them together. Forsake darkness. Move into light. Praise God. Non-organic creation is probably not as amazing as organic creation, things that are living. But nonetheless, You look at the table of periodic elements or whatever it's called, and all of the elements that have been discovered and the order of them, the protons, the neutrons, the electrons. How did that happen? It's amazing. And I thank God for all of the gems and minerals and everything that we find in our world. God spoke it into existence. Praise God. On the third day, living things were spoken into being. On the fourth day, more vast creation of non-living things, the sun and the moon. And it's almost like an afterthought when he said, and he made the stars also. Oh, by the way. How amazing that the Lord spoke it all into existence. And again, it stated he divided the light from the darkness. More living things in days 5 and 6, man formed from the dust of the earth, and the Lord breathed into him, and man became a living soul. What an amazing, amazing aspect of creation. The seventh day, there's a principle of rest. God doesn't wear out. He doesn't become weary. He doesn't need to sit down because he's fatigued. No, it was a principle of rest. And rest for the physical man, rest for the mental and emotional aspects of man, and certainly in the spiritual realm. That's why the Lord declared, "Come unto me and I will give you rest." It's a rest that goes beyond what we might experience in a vacation or in a luxury resort or whatever aspect of comfort and leisure you might describe. There's a rest that the Lord is able to give that goes far beyond all of that. And I'm thankful that the Lord invites us to find rest unto your souls. Praise God. Now that aspect of light. And John chapter 3, an amazing lesson that Brother Mitch shared with us this morning, the teaching on light that the Lord gave as a spiritual force. The latter portions of John chapter 3, he said, light is come into the world. But the amazing thing is men love darkness rather than light. And you're stopped to think about that, and certainly there's a lot of darkness in this world, darkness that in the sense of crime, darkness in the sense of sin, in the sense of wrongdoing, and so on. And evil deeds keep people from the light, and even creates a hatred for light. And that's amazing because of the blessings that we find in light. But truth, thank God, truth will cause people to advance to the light, to come to that light. And the Lord declaring, I am the light of the world. I'm thankful that we know the I am is still in power. John 8 and 12, Jesus spake and told them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. There's that division again, but shall have the light of life. Thank God for the light of the world. Not just an area, not just a region, not just a particular group, but for the whole world. And then he said, my followers don't walk in darkness. Thank the Lord that there's that aspect of light that continues and the blessing of light that is there. And that light is life. I'm thankful for that powerful combination. Just as we read in the text, John 1 and 4. Again, light and life are combined in what the Lord declares. And I'm thankful he gives us the power and the strength to walk in that light. He said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And that's what we can rely upon. That's what we can claim. A simple, straightforward statement that is a promise of power and blessing in our lives. This is actually a fulfillment of prophecy. Isaiah prophesied about the one who would come, and his name would be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and we know that's fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Isaiah 9 and 2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. And I thank God for that reality and the knowing the power and the blessing of that experience, because the Lord brought light to the darkness in the lives of those who were hurting, in the lives of those who had no hope, in the experiences of those who had no answers. I'm thankful that the Lord multiplied miracles for the needs of many, the healing of all manner of disease and sickness, lepers that were healed and brought out of their isolation and restored life to them, as well as their relationships with family, the blind being able to see, some of them for the first time. And the Lord brought it about because he is light and life. The crippled and lame walked. Desperate people were delivered from demonic depression and influence. Some that suffered for years were healed and had a new beginning, another chance at life. Oh, I'm thankful the Lord knows how to give light. The Lord knows how to lighten our darkness. The Lord knows how to bring forth that power and that blessing. I'm thankful that life was restored, a regular life with family and friends and jobs and all of the aspects there that people may have missed, but the Lord brought forth his power and his goodness. Some who were bound by a sinful lifestyle were made free and told, sin no more. Now, that was probably impossible from their human standpoint, but the Lord gave power that they could obey that command. And grace is God's goodness to help us live above sin as overcomers. I'm thankful that that's the life that he imparted to us. The devil and his deceit were defeated. I read about the father who pleaded for his son. He said he falls into the water. He's thrown into the flames. And he knows that demonic possession was trying to end his life. But Jesus delivered him on the spot. There wasn't a long regimen that was required. There wasn't a lot of situations that had to be met. But right then, right there, the Lord provided deliverance. The man from Gadara, who was called Legion because of the numbers of demons that were in his life, he experienced a change that only Jesus could bring. His life became peaceful instead of full of chaos and confusion. He appeared modest before the Lord, sitting at his feet, and the Bible says he was in his right mind. That's the power that the Lord Jesus Christ brought forth. And I'm so thankful he was able to change life situations. He was able to change circumstances. He was able to bring forth his power and his blessing. And he was even able to raise from the dead. Praise God. There was a widow in a village called Nain. And a widow, because her husband had passed from this life. And she depended upon her son. And her son was the joy of her life, was the cause for her continued existence. She relied upon him. But whatever disease or sickness or accident or whatever it was caused him now to be carried to the cemetery. Jesus didn't attend the funeral. He interrupted it. He stopped them carrying that son to the cemetery. And he, no doubt, was looked upon as one who was calloused, one who was doing something out of the ordinary, and don't you have respect, and don't you want to honor, and so on. But the Lord said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. What did people think? Well, they didn't have time to think about that, because the young man sat up and he began to speak. What did he say? Who did he speak to? I'm sure it was to that mother, whose tears were yet upon her cheeks, and whose heart was breaking, and whose future was so bleak. But he spoke to her. Hallelujah. Because that's the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And I like the way it says Jesus delivered him to his mother. Got him down off of that coffin or burial stand, whatever they had, and brought him over and caused him to embrace his mother. We can only imagine what followed. What celebration. What feasting. What a crowd that turned from going to the cemetery, now accompanying the young man and his mother to their home. What an incredible time that they would enjoy in the blessings of the Lord. And think about the days that followed. Think about the young men that were friends with that young man. Think about how they joined together again in their camaraderie, their friendship, their esprit de corps, and their tests of strength. You know, lift that rock. Let's see who can lift that rock. You step up there and you do it. And they all stood back as they watched that widow's son pick it up again like he had done before. Whatever they did, they shared jobs, they helped one another, they just spent that time together, praise God, because the Lord stepped in. Amen. That mother saw her son married, probably, and then that son took his mother to the cemetery when she passed. But he had hope. There's a resurrection. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful for all that it means. A ruler of the Jews named Jairus sought Jesus to heal his 12-year-old daughter. He had spent days and maybe even weeks seeing her sink lower and lower in health. And just a 12-year-old, vibrant, full of energy, full of spunk and questions and things about life. And now she lays upon her deathbed. It caused that man to dash into the direction of Jesus Christ, desperately trying to find the Lord, wanting for him to come and heal his daughter. When he found Jesus, he fell on his knees. He didn't care about protocol. He didn't care about circumstance and so on. He was desperate. Lord, come and heal my daughter. The Lord started to walk away with him. The crowd followed. There was an interruption of another need being met. I'm thankful that the Lord can be multitasked. I'm thankful that he can be multifocused. As he's ministering to Brother Jordan, he can minister to Brother Mike. Praise God. I'm thankful that's how our God is able to move and able to operate and able to work. That poor woman who had an issue of blood, that hemorrhage condition for 12 years. And what an ironic contrast. Here's a 12-year-old laying on her deathbed. Here's a woman who's been sick for 12 years, but the Lord is able to take care of both of them. He transcends time. He transcends distance. He takes care of circumstances, whatever they may be. Praise God. She said, the woman with the issue of blood, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. Oh, what a measure of faith. I don't need to have him pray for me. I don't need to have him touch me. I don't even need to have his attention. I just need to reach out and touch the hem of his garment, and I know there'll be power. That's not superstition. That's not wishful thinking. She recognized he has power. Praise God. And sure enough, it happened. But it was an interruption. It was a delay. And the father was so full of anguish and so anxious to continue the journey. We need to get to my house. We need to get to my daughter. But when he turned, he recognized servants coming from his household to tell him, "Trouble not the master. Your daughter has died." What went through his mind? What struck his heart? What tears began to flow? But the Lord said, "Fear not. Fear not." Oh man, how incredible. "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." So they continued the journey. The man desperately trying to believe, desperately trying to dispel his fears But we're human. Death is so final. It's over. It's done. You can't reverse it. What's going to happen? Mark records the scene at Jairus' house in Mark 5:41. He took the damsel by the hand, the 12-year-old, and said to her, she's dead. She's laying there. But he grasped her hand, and he spoke to her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. 12 years old, and she came to life in that moment. It's so good to let the Lord have his say. It's so wonderful to let the Lord speak into your circumstances. It's so great to have the Lord answer your prayer and know that he's able to minister. Praise God. Oh, I have no doubt that there was a circle on the calendar every time that resurrection day came around. They celebrated birthday. They celebrated resurrection. Praise God. Just like we'll remember November 24th. Amen. We'll celebrate. And you have days as well that you know God answered. You know God provided. You know God blessed. Praise God. And we will celebrate how our God has provided and how he's blessed in a wonderful way. Amen. A Jewish wedding is not like ours. But imagine in your mind now, Jairus walking his daughter down the aisle to give her hand in marriage. Imagine Jairus holding his first grandbaby. Oh, my God is able to answer and minister to our needs. I'm thankful he speaks truth and light. I'm thankful he brings health and healing. I'm thankful he brings restoration and resurrection. Praise God. But the stories continue on. Lazarus was a friend of the Lord, along with his sisters, Martha and Mary. Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, but he delayed going to Bethany to be at his side. Why are there divine delays? Why does the Lord hesitate sometimes, it seems? I don't know. I don't know. I don't have an answer. But I do know I need to hold on. I need to believe. I need to claim his promise. Praise God. The Lord did go to Bethany. He did speak to Mary and Martha. And they both told him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. They both said it. They both had faith. But that faith was in the past now. Their brother is dead. In fact, he's been dead for 4 days. But Jesus declared to them, I am the resurrection and the life. He walked with them to the tomb. No doubt they had gone there every day. Wept. Maybe talked to their brother. We love you. We miss you. But at the tomb, he told them to move away the stone. They were hesitant. They were reluctant. 4 days already. Decomposition. And so on. And they almost let the natural get in the way of the supernatural. But they obeyed. And Jesus cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Oh, man. People expectant, people doubting, people fearful, people criticizing, people hopeful. And he that was bound in grave clothes with a napkin over his face. They didn't have paper napkins back then. It was linen. Couldn't see where he was going. But he moved toward the voice of Jesus. And that's what we need to do. We can't see. We don't know. Answers aren't there. But the voice of Jesus, keep going to him. Keep coming to him. Praise God. And the Lord said, loose him and let him go. Oh, there's so many things we need to be loosed from. Our doubts, our unbelief, our confusion, our question. It's okay to question. That doesn't bother the Lord. Just be ready for the answers. And the Lord will minister. Amazingly, the opposition rose up and plotted even more to put Jesus to death. And Lazarus, too, just been resurrected. Now they're planning to kill him. But they celebrated with Jesus at a banquet. And that's when Mary anointed the feet of Jesus with perfume. And the entry to Jerusalem, trying to hurry. He rode a donkey. According to prophecy, the crowd cried out, Hosanna. Many in the crowd had seen Lazarus raised from the dead, and they were all talking about it as they celebrated the Lord entering into Jerusalem. And they cried out, Hosanna. But many in Jerusalem had another celebration in mind. It was a celebration of condemnation and crucifixion. And when it happened, it seemed like it was over. This is the end. It's done. Nothing more. And so the two men on the road to Emmaus, walking along, discussing with one another the death of Jesus Christ. A stranger joined them. He walked along and inquired, what are you talking about? Don't you know what's happened? No, what happened? In Jerusalem, the one we hoped to be the Messiah, a prophet, mighty in word and deed, was condemned and crucified. We trusted, we hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And today's the third day. You know, they kept track of time, but they didn't keep track of his promises. That's where we are a lot of times, isn't it? We're marking the days. We're wondering why. We're having a difficult time. They told the reports that they had heard. Certain women went to the tomb. His body was not there. They saw angels declaring Jesus is alive. I'm glad that we read the story that the angels announced his birth when he came forth from the womb. And 33 years later, they're announcing he's not in the tomb. Praise God. They said some men ran to the tomb and saw that his body was gone. And then Jesus began to teach them a scripture study. And then they recognized him. This is Jesus. He's alive. He's walking with us. He's talking to us. He's showing us what the Word of God says and how it's been fulfilled. And then they said, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us in the way? Oh, man. I'm thankful the Lord can show how he fulfills promises, how he brings it forth. Praise God. And then the Bible says he appeared to his disciples. He appeared to Mary Magdalene, to Peter. He called him by name. He appeared to the 11. He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He said, peace be unto you. He probably saw the expression on their faces when he appeared out of nowhere. And there he is standing in front of them, and they're astonished, they're fearful, they're wondering. And that's why he said it three times, three different occasions, peace be unto you. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what you need to hear. He knows what you need to feel. Keep waiting for him. Keep looking for him. Keep believing him. Praise God. He appeared again to his disciples, and this time specifically to Thomas, who said, I want to see his hands. I want to see the wound in his side. It's good to want to have your own experience. And the Lord not going to take offense of that. He's just going to show you. Praise God. He appeared to the disciples who were fishing. I looked at the map. That's quite a distance. The Sea of Galilee from Jerusalem. Didn't matter where the disciples went. The Lord was there with them, showing them, this is my power. Paul said, over 500 saw him alive. Praise God. For 40 days, many infallible proofs were offered. He was seen of them almost 6 weeks, and he spoke to them pertaining to the kingdom of God. He had told them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. See, he was letting them know. It looked like it was over, but it's just the beginning. There's more to come. There's more to happen. Wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He told them, you're going to receive power in the Holy Ghost. So they gathered there in that upper room. They selected another disciple to replace Judas, who had hanged himself. And they said, we need him to be a witness with us of his resurrection. They were focused on that resurrection. And then the Holy Ghost was poured out, a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And they all were filled with the Holy Ghost. They all began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I'm thankful that God is still pouring out his Spirit upon all flesh. Amen. Peter stood up and preached. It was scriptural. He quoted from the Word of God. He brought up the resurrection four times. He wanted to emphasize that point. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Praise God. Conviction came upon the crowd that had gathered because they're wondering what is going on here. There's 120 of these people, and we hear them speaking in different languages. What's happening? What's going on? They're talking about the wonderful works of God. We understand what they're saying. And more people gathered together. They heard Peter preach. Conviction came upon their hearts. They knew the wrong that had been done to Jesus Christ. And they cried out, what shall we do? Peter's answer was so direct, so simple. I'm glad God makes it simple. If he wanted to make it complicated, if he wanted to make it long and drawn out, if he wanted to make it impossible, he could have. But no. He caused Peter to say, repent, change, praise God. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Thank God that that is possible. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, man, how incredible and powerful. Then he went on, the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. Oh, I'm thankful we can hear that call. I'm thankful we can heed that call. Just like they did there when there were 3,000 that were added. Don't you know that got the attention of people who crucified the Lord? Don't you know that got their attention just like the veil being torn and the darkness at noon and the earthquake when Jesus was crucified? Oh, it got the attention. They couldn't ignore it. But thank God there was even more life, even more light that came through because they were preaching the resurrection. There was persecution. Yes, there was. But they prayed for boldness. And the Bible says they spoke the word of God with boldness. Acts 4 and 33, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Amen. Oh, I'm thankful that Jesus Christ raised from the dead was a constant theme of the apostles. It wasn't a fable. It wasn't a legend. It was a reality. And it was full of power and blessing and strength. People's lives were changed by that resurrection. Whole cities and whole families were impacted. Samaria, Cornelius' household, Lydia, the jailer's household, deliverance. Peter was delivered from prison. The fortune-telling girl in Philippi was delivered from demonic possession. The lame man who had never walked was leaping and walking and praising God. Aeneas, who was paralyzed for 8 years, stood up and walked. Praise God. And resurrection? Resurrection happened. Tabitha was raised back to life. The young man who fell from the upper story, he was probably charged with tending to the lights, you know, the oil for the lamps or candles or whatever. But he dozed off while Paul was preaching past midnight, and he fell third story. But Paul stepped over to him and told him there's life in him, raised him up. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful that the Lord knows how to bring that kind of power and blessing. And that power is for us today. Amen. It's not just a story, not just a celebration, not just a recognition on the calendar. Oh, this is Easter. Okay. No, there's power that's imparted to us. He can say, peace be unto you. You don't have to live in chaos and confusion. You can let his peace that passes understanding keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Amen. And when he declared, receive ye the Holy Ghost, we can be filled again, just like the apostles were filled again with the power of the Spirit. And we stay empowered. We stay equipped. We remove doubt and uncertainty. We move into the realm of his power and his blessing that continues on today, because Jesus Christ, the Bible says in Hebrews 13:8, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still healing. He's still delivering. He's still saving. And the Bible lets us know it is so great salvation. And he saves to the uttermost. And here's what we can hope in. Rejoicing in the resurrection that already happened and getting ready for the future resurrection. Praise God. Because here's what the Bible says. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep or who died in Jesus will God bring with him. And the Bible lets us know even further, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that quickened Christ shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Praise God. It's a sure thing. It's something we can stand on. There is going to be a shout. There is going to be a voice. There isn't going to be the trump of God, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise God. Amen. A prepared place for a prepared people. I want to be among that number. I want to make sure I'm ready to go. Praise God. Amen. I'm so thankful we serve a God of the second chance. But I don't read anywhere in Scripture where there's a second chance to make the rapture. There isn't. Let's get ready now. Let's nail it down now. Let's divide light from darkness now. Let's be obedient to the Word of God now. Amen. Stand with me, please. Oh, I'm thankful. I'm thankful the resurrection can mean more to us than, a lot of the secular aspects of the celebration of Easter. Those traditions are fun for the kids, fun for the family, and all of that sort of thing. But the reality, he's alive. Praise God. And he's able to minister to every need, every situation, every circumstance. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful. Thankful. The living reality of it. Amen. Amen. And to be assured he's coming again. It's going to happen. And we want to be in his presence forever. And the Bible tells us, comfort one another by these words. And I'm thankful for the comfort that he offers, because he is the comforter. Amen. And we can know his power and his blessing and his goodness together again. Amen. Amen. Could you close your eyes for just a moment? I want you to meditate. I want you to consider. I want you to recognize this is for you. He did this for you. He fulfilled the word of God with you in mind. There's nobody left out. There's nobody excluded. It's everyone, everyone. And that means me. That means you. Make sure you're grasping every aspect of the promise that the Lord wants you to have. Every measure of comfort. Every aspect of peace. Everything that he has available for you today. And especially, most importantly, I need to be ready, because he is coming back. Praise God. Praise God. I invite you to come and pray now. We're going to sing. We're going to worship. We're going to pray. Come and sit on the front row if you want to. Kneel at the altar. Stand together. Thank God that we can put our trust in the Lord. Thank God that we can believe him and rely upon him. Amen. Amen. What a great and mighty God. Thank the Lord.
Bring it all to peace. The storm surrounding me. Let it break.
Oh, yes, Lord. By your power and by your might.
At your name.
We glorify you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord.
Call the seas still. The rage in me.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, yes,
at your name, peace, bring it all to me.
Thank you, precious Lord.
The storm surrounding me.
Oh, I glorify you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
At your name.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. Darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. Once again.